Hello and welcome to Spark Your Fire podcast with Jess and David. The term FIRE here stands for financial independence, retire early. It boils down to the desire to live more frugally and make your money work harder for you in order to be able to retire from the full-time workforce as soon as possible. Are you ready to spark your fire? Well, here's your host, Jazz and David.
How are you doing, Jazz?
Really good, David. Episode number 5 we are on. Really excited to be on the show once again.
That's awesome, mate. We are about second weekend of January at the moment, and I can feel that everyone's back at work and everyone's refreshed. So, it's going to be a good year, I reckon.
Definitely. Time to hit the goals for year 2019.
yeah, excellent. Hey, what are we talking about today, mate?
David, we have covered some of the basic stuff in the last few episodes, which we really think listeners will find very useful. I think the topic of today probably is one of the most important and going to be an interesting topic is, what's the importance of team when you're investing in the property space or in the share market, whichever asset class you're investing in? How the team is one of the most critical things to be successful in that space. What do you think, David? So obviously we have been investing for the last few years now, both of us, right?
Yep.
And we deal with our clients on a daily basis as well. What are your thoughts on, I mean, when you got started, you made the effort first to set up a team, which is basically have a good mortgage broker, have a good buyer's agent, maybe have some connections with the property manager so you know what kind of property will rent for what. Do you think it's important to have that on the day one? I mean, let's say I'm new to this industry, I'm just starting out, I'm going to buy my first investment property. How should I go about that?
Yeah, mate, look, I think when I started, and this is looking from hindsight, I didn't have any team members with me. I'm a very DIY guy, like to do things myself and like to learn things myself. So not saying that's the best way, but looking back, if one thing that I want to do differently, I would definitely want to be able to get team members, qualified team members around me on this journey. When I started, I get financed myself by going directly to the banks. I didn't use a buyer's agent. This regard, I have spoken to a couple of buyer's agents, but I know ultimately I need to be held responsible for these investments myself. So I've decided to do my own research, but at the same time, I've also engaged a buyer's agent on that basis, but I didn't quite end up using their service because I actually found a property before the VA did that I wanted to buy. Salsa is kind of like a different thing because from a legal perspective, I cannot do that myself, despite the fact I do review my own contracts and I try to understand what the contract is entailing. But looking back, that is definitely not necessary. I'll definitely just go straight to a solicitor or conveyancer and get them to help out on the contract and legal perspective. I think one of the other one is property manager, because as we invest interstate, I think property managers are definitely going to be key to be your eyes on the ground. So I have been relying on property manager heavily on that basis, to be able to help me pre-inspections, and also talking about what needs to be fixed up, etc., etc., and what happens after settlement. Basically, I think those are the four main roles that I can think of on top of my head at the moment. Essentially, finance, which if I was to do it again, I would definitely look for a mortgage broker earlier. Look, I think personally, for example, on the finance, I talked about this in one of the earlier episodes. I went directly to banks initially, but after funding two, I'm starting to struggle with my borrowing capacity, and that loans hasn't been structured correctly in order for me to continue expanding my portfolio. So at that point in time, I met my mortgage broker at this point, and was able to get the structure done correctly so that I can continue to expand. So if I knew that, looking from hindsight, I would have approached a mortgage broker from day one just to make sure I'm doing it correctly and save me from all this refinance and hassles and all the costs that's associated to it as well. And buyer's agent, look, I'm a DIY guy. I like to know how things work. And having spoken to a couple of VAs, I definitely think that they are a lot of specialized in this area. They know their stuff. They know, and a good BA, in my opinion, would definitely ask you about your goals and, you know, and understand your mindset in terms of what you're trying to achieve in a long-term perspective, rather than just looking at a single transaction at that point in time. So, you know, that needs to fit into where and what to buy, and also the long-term, the overall strategy.
So the four most important ones, just to repeat for our listeners, are a qualified mortgage broker, probably someone who's investment savvy like us, who have been through the journey, understand it, or know how to structure it, know what to look for, what kind of pitfalls, and can think five steps ahead maybe. A good buyer's agent. They do charge money, obviously, in advance, and it can vary anywhere from 8,000 to 15,000, depending upon the buyer's agent. These buyer's agents, if you find the right ones, and surely there's a lot of scammy ones as well in the market, so you just got to be careful and do your research properly. But if you find the right one, on an average, the property value in Australia, in the capital cities, if you look at Melbourne and Sydney especially, is well and truly over 500K. And if they charge you that little bit of fee, which is, let's say, the average is about $10,000, worth having a buyer's agent handy, because they are buying properties day in, day out. They have got a team of people on the ground who are looking for properties. And half of the time, these buyer's agents probably are not even letting the properties come on the market. They just go off the market. They've got off the market opportunities.
Yeah. And look, you know, I totally agree with you there, Jess. Basically, the way I look at it is, yes, you do pay buyer's agent a fee, but you're essentially paying for their time and their expertise to be able to negotiate the property for you. So to a lot of extent, you know, if they're able to get the property undervalued for you, let's say, you know, $20,000 undervalued in terms of what the market value is, and you're paying $10,000 to the buyer's agent, that means you still got a really good entry price and you made $10,000 on the way in. And that to me is absolutely critical.
Exactly. And more important point is that you actually know that you have bought the right property, because these guys are buying properties on a daily basis. Whereas if you end up buying a wrong property in the wrong area, then the damage you can do to your future wealth is significant.
Yeah, and I'm seeing a lot better quality properties that most of the BAs, people who engage BA, are coming across, you know, and they're definitely more investment grade in my opinion. So definitely I'm a big advocate in terms of using the right people, the right service to get the right outcome. And, you know, like speaking from a personal experience, I guess if I did engage a buyer's agent at that point in time when I was first investing in Brisbane, I may not necessarily have invested in the lower socioeconomic areas, as per se. But having said that, you know, like at that time, my investment strategy was essentially to acquire as positive cash flow property as possible with decent rental yield. So on that basis, that's why I sparked off on my own journey. Though looking back, you know, if I was to do it again, I probably wouldn't choose those low social demographic areas myself.
Yeah, and that always comes down to your goal and strategy. Because if you're after more cash flow or neutral property, cash flow neutral property, then you normally will have to lean towards these kind of areas which are which have got a chance of gentrification in the future. Whereas otherwise you'll probably go into more blue chip suburbs like the Bondi Beach and Coogee or Manly, those kind of places.
Yeah, definitely. Mate, I want to add one more thing about finance brokers as well, because I think this is an interesting area that, in my opinion, I mean, you and I are kind of like in a slightly different cattle fish, as per se, as in comparison with the traditional mortgage brokers. And I think moving forward, that's why, you know, like apart from the passion that we have in relation to property and helping people, you know, being investors ourselves would also have made a difference. What has your customers been saying about the experience of using an investment savvy mortgage broker?
Actually, that's a very good question, David. I think most of my customers, the reason they came to me in first place is they were less interested about the finance side. They were more interested in how I have done it and how I can help achieve their goal, which is have a portfolio of whatever 5 mil or 4 mil, whatever the amount is. So they were more interested in the property strategy side of things, which automatically, which, and you will agree to that, leads towards the finance, and it always leans to more towards the finance, especially in the current market where lending is so tight. But the main reason they came to me was because they wanted me to be their property strategist. They wanted to build wealth. They didn't came to me because I'm a mortgage broker. There's plenty of mortgage brokers in the market, but it's a niche, it's a proven record, and they just want to pick your brain. So basically that's your specialization in a way.
Yeah, definitely. So in a sense, it's a bit like you put your BA hat on as well, and helping your clients to derive that investment strategy based on the understanding of their current financial situation and their goal they want to achieve.
Because we have done it, so we know the areas where to invest. We know how to build a decent sized portfolio. We know how to make that portfolio sort of manageable, where it's not too heavily negatively geared or too heavily positively geared kind of thing. We breed that on a daily basis. So that's what the clients are more after, which is why we call ourselves sort of investment savvy. And it goes, and the other important player in your team outside of a mortgage broker is tax accountant. And I can tell you, my tax accountant, he's actually, his portfolio is worth close to 30 mil. And the reason I picked up this accountant was because I needed an investment savvy, property investment savvy tax accountant, and can give me all the tips moving forward.
It doesn't really matter where the actual advisor is located physically. I mean, technology nowadays is amazing anyway. So, a call, a Skype call, or a video call of some sort, it's literally accessible. It doesn't really confine by the geographical location, as per se.
The important point that David already made is don't restrict yourself that you need to have an accountant in your own backyard, in your own suburb, or a broker, or a financial planner, or a buyer's agent. Doesn't matter. As long as the person resonates with you, they can understand what your goals are and what your strategies, or they can help you get to where you want. It's irrelevant which state they live in, or which country, to be honest, they live in, because all of that stuff is gonna be mobile anyways.
Yeah, 100%. I think you sum it up perfectly there. And essentially, I think, if you are going to be in this property investing game long term, like all of us, then I think it makes sense to use advisors who's also personally walk the walk and talk the talk themselves by investing in property. Because I know that, judging by myself, I understand what the pain points of my clients are in terms of wanting to grow a portfolio, and those are the areas and the bottlenecks which I will focus on tackling, on solving the problem for our clients, and as per se. So I think that's where I see the true value of using a advisor, especially having a team around you that be able to propel you to the next level. For those people who are starting out in particular, because most of the time I know how daunting it was around that time when I was trying to actually look at investing interstate in the beginning. If you had no one to guide you, essentially it's a very lonely game. And even though there's a lot of information online nowadays, but it's still very difficult to filter through what is relevant and what is generic. So, in that scenario, that's why it makes sense to seek specific advice from qualified professionals, and be able to talk specifically what is going to work for you, or what are the options that's available for you to be able to move forward in your property investment journey. And on that basis, having these advisors who's also having done the journey themselves, to me, is paramount.
The knowledge is easily, and we have said that in the previous podcast as well, the knowledge is really easy accessible these days. It's just that you need to go out and talk to these people and see who resonates the most with your strategy, goals, who can understand you, who you are more comfortable with. And as long as they have got the right reputation in the market, then you just need to bring them to your team and ask for the help and advice. And it's almost impossible when you're investing interstate, especially these days if you are in Victoria or New South Wales, where it's probably not the greatest time to be buying investment property. It becomes really tricky when you're branching out to other states, because you don't know the suburbs, you don't know what to look for, where to look for. So that's where this team comes super handy. And I can tell you firsthand, David, and I'm sure you'll agree to that as well, you're a borderless investor, is that once once you get to the stage of where you probably, it's still easier to some extent to buy a property within your own state, because you can go there on a regular basis on the weekend, look at the auction numbers, check out the auctions to see what the interest in the property is, ask all the right questions, right? Get the feel of the area, all of that stuff. But it's almost impossible to do that when you're buying the property interstate. And soon, at some point within your portfolio, you're going to hit that point where you have bought one or two properties within your own state, or it just doesn't add up to buy in your own state, like in Victoria and in New South Wales to some extent at the moment. And you need to have that specific team with you to be able to go and do some of the hard work, but come back to you and be able to explain properly or articulate properly that why this is a good investment.
That's right. And I think it brings back to one of the points that I made earlier in relation to when I was investing interstate. I did rely heavily on my property manager in Queensland to be able to do some of the pre-inspections for me, so I don't have to fly to the property all the time to check it myself. So I think that, and also the property manager's got a team of trades, so they can actually be able to provide you quite good response in terms of, you know, how much the repair costs would be approximately as an approximate figure to be able to get a tenant in or get the property up to shape so that you can maximize the chance of getting a tenant in. So on that basis, you know, I think that's why for me personally, a property manager is also very, very important, because, you know, after, like in my scenario, pre-inspection, the PM has been involved, but also after settlement, the property manager is going to be the one that's going to be managing the ongoing and day-to-day stuff for you. So there definitely needs to be that trust, and there needs to be that delegation, because truth to be told, you know, if the PM is not doing the job, then, you basically don't know what's going on. Yep. So, you know, a good PM on that perspective will always keep you updated in terms of what's happening. And you know, like, my personal experience on that perspective is that don't go with the cheapest based on the management fee. Because I think one of the philosophies I have is, you know, you pay what you pay for what you get, basically. So if you just want someone to collect the rent, then most likely they're probably only going to charge you for 5%. And, you know, if the problem comes along, then they won't provide you much solution. They'll inform you there's a problem, but they won't give you a solution. Whereas if you want to make sure that it's properly looked after, you know, I think they'll be worth every cent, and they will be more than happy to let you know what the problem is and also the potential solutions that comes with it.
And property managers are super critical in this game when you've got a decent sized portfolio. If you've got, think about it, if you've got 7 or 10 or 5 properties, whatever the number is, if you don't have the right property managers looking after those properties, you'll have to take a lot of pain. And I actually mean a lot of pain. If the property manager is not right, then that means they're going to let any tenants move into the property. You've already lost half of the battle. It can become really hard, because then you'll have to go to VCAT, and plus all the expenses, and the rent will get delayed. You'll have to put shortfall out of your pocket, even though landlord insurance might cover you to some extent. But you'll have to take all of that pain. But if you've got that right property manager who takes care of all of that by just making sure the tenant that they're putting into the property is the appropriate one, then that's already a 90% of the win, if not 100%. It's super critical to have a good property manager, and it's very important to filter them through properly by talking to a few different property managers, and even maybe speaking to some of the landlords in that case, just to find out what the property managers are like. Because if they don't respond to your phone call, or if it takes them 5 days to reply to your email, that's a lot of damage to the property that tenants can do in that period of time.
100%. And I think, you know, down the track, I think we might bring on a couple PMs as well, so that they can share their personal experiences and thoughts along that line to help educate our listeners as well on that basis, I think.
100%. And as said in the previous episode, we do have some good lineup down the line where we'll be bringing some of the guests on the show. Who else, David, do you think is important on the team from investment perspective?
Yeah, so I think the other one that, apart from those that you mentioned, the other one is solicitor, a conveyancer. Now, selection criteria for the source law conveyancer, not necessarily they need to be a property investor themselves. I mean, ideally, yes, they are. But I think in this scenario, you know, it's easier for you to get referrals from people who have used their services before. So, you know, the way I seek for my source law is basically they have a good record from fellow property investors in terms of the easiness of the overall transaction. And also they basically preempt what may potentially could go wrong, and they guide you before it actually happens. For example, you know, if there's anything that's settlements coming up, you know, and they need the fund to be in the sort of the trusted account maybe 2 days before settlement, they should give you plenty of notices, maybe, you know, a week beforehand, just to let you know what the estimated fund to complete is and where you should be looking at transferring to. So, you know, that to me, you know, is also part of very important of the overall gear in terms of your property investment journey. And, you know, like with a decent solicitor, they would also know, you know, if the vendor is not abiding by the contract terms, then how you should react, how you can actually hold them responsible.
Another important thing that conveyancers or solicitors do is that they make sure all the searches are done on the property. It's really important to have a right conveyancer so the settlement is super smooth. Whereas if it gets delayed, and if it got delayed because of the seller, then you'll have to end up paying, because of the buyer, you'll have to end up paying interest on that property on a daily basis, which could be hefty.
Yes, so, potential penalties, basically.
Exactly. So, and the only other one that comes to mind, David, is the quantity surveyor. So it's always important to maybe call the quantity surveyor before you buy the property to understand from a tax perspective, what kind of depreciation you will get on the property. And to some extent, your investment savvy accountant can help with that, but a quantity surveyor will give you a pretty accurate picture of how much depreciation each year you can claim in the first few years to know where you stand.
Yeah, I believe it's like an actual survey report, isn't it? A depreciation report, which they can do for you. But even if you don't, if you're at the acquisition or just before purchasing, if you just want to get an idea, I'm sure they'll be more than happy to give you a ballpark figure as well in terms of what the likelihood of depreciation looks like by asking you a couple of questions about the property.
Yep, and I always do that. I always ring BMT depreciators to get rough estimate of how much can I claim of this property. And they're pretty good at that. They'll just quickly log in, check online, look at the photos, and give you a vague estimate, which will be pretty close to, because it's their daily job, so they know the area, streets pretty well, and the kind of house. So they'll give you, by just looking at online, they can give you a rough estimate of where it sits, kind of thing. So it's not costing you anything. Now, if you think about this, the power of the team is great. And the way I look at that is more of a, if you look at soccer players, if you don't have the right players within the team, there's no chance you're going to win the game. If everyone is a Ronaldo in the team, they're not going to win the team. They're not going to win the game because then it's not a team play, really, right? That's how important it is to be able to win, to be able to hit that goal and win the game. And in this case, especially, David, we know mortgage brokers don't even charge any fee. A quantity surveyor, you can hit them up directly just to get a rough idea. It's not going to cost you anything. Your tax accountant, investment savvy tax accountant, you should be able to ring them up and ask a couple of questions before you buy property. So it's not even costing you that much. It's just having the right people with the right mindset within your team who you can bounce all these ideas with. The major cost is probably the buyer's agent fee that's paid. But then again, you're buying a property worth $1 million or $2 million, and if you have to pay 1% fee or less, somewhere around that, then be it. At least you know that you're getting the right deal because they're looking at these things on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's all about basically mitigating the risk as much as you can, especially when you're starting out. Yeah. And also, you know, just making sure that whatever mistakes that potentially the advisor have made themselves to their best extent doesn't happen to you. I think that's where the real value shines.
Yep, I think that covers it up pretty well from a team perspective. Another good episode. Hopefully the people who are starting in this space in the year 2019, they really think about this very hard. As I said, there's not that much cost, and the power of it, you'll be surprised what the power of it is. Because if your first property, you can end up making, you can buy it well and truly under the market value because you've got a good buyer's agent, then you've already made a little bit of equity at the time of buying the property. So that's already a good start in the game. So
I've got one more thing to add there, Jess. Sure. I think it's also important to make sure that you get the appropriate advice from the qualified professional. So don't go to a solicitor for credit advice, and don't go to a broker for legal advice or accounting advice, for example, because they're not qualified to be able to provide that kind of advice. And I've seen basically people getting the wrong advice, unfortunately, from the wrong advisor, and because of that information, they lost a bit of money on that basis and caused a lot of stress when it comes to settlement. So I think one of the main things is make sure that you seek the right advice from the qualified professional, and certainly like you and I, Jazz, as a qualified credit advice professional, we are able to give credit advice, but we're not able to give like self-accounting advice or legal advice as well. So I've been very cautious about providing that kind of advice when the client seeks that. So definitely it's in your best interest to make sure that find the right advice from the right guy.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And the way I look at that is, if you've got the right guy in the team or the right person in the team, then they should already know what their boundary is and be very clear with what kind of advice they can provide and what they cannot. And if they are providing you advice which they shouldn't be, then I'll start thinking whether it's the right person or not.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Yeah. No, that's a really good and handy tip once again, David. So anything else to add?
No, I think that pretty much covers for our episode today.
One more good episode. Really excited about 2019. And hope you guys are enjoying the podcast and the content is good. As said before, please don't forget to give us 5-star rating on the iTunes or Podbean, whatever app you're using. And we'll guys see you next time. Jazz and David, bye.
If you have any questions or feedback about today's episode, you can reach out to us through sparkyourfirepodcast@gmail.com. That's sparkyourfirepodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Also, the content discussed in this episode is general in nature. Please seek specific advice from qualified professionals in regards to your personal situation.